You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
The trial of Karen Reed continues on. It was supposed to be originally a 3-week trial. We're now into week 6, and then 7's coming, and 8, and God knows how long this will go on. Joining me to discuss, Eric Fardis, former prosecutor and defense attorney. Eric, another weekend. We've heard more testimony, a lot more information about the evidence in the case, not just people's eyewitness testimony or accounts of what happened. What's been your reactions thus far?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been helpful for certainly for jurors, but everyone following this case to look at some objective pieces of evidence that aren't subject to a person's recollections, that aren't subject to whether a person might exaggerate or minimize or leave something out. And so I think that that sort of concrete piece of this case is going to be important for the jury in deciding who to believe and what happened.
But how much do these pieces matter if one side is going to just take whatever is admitted into evidence and go, it was planted, it's not part of the case? I mean, we have to get somewhere on the same page here of, like, there has to be some level of sanity or some level of facts going on. And if one person just, one side doesn't like it, they just go, it's not real.
Yeah, I hear it. And you know, defense can play that card, but that card can grow tiresome over time, especially if defense doesn't have what the jurors need to back it up.
Well, exactly. That's what we're seeing a lot of, it seems, in this case of, oh, it's planted or this or that. I mean, let me just ask you, I mean, have you ever seen a case where someone was able to put together this conspiracy in such a short period of time, plant evidence, have all of these people involved and in on the conspiracy, risking their careers, risking their reputations, risking their livelihoods, all to do what? I mean, it just, it seems, it's quite a laundry list of people that have to be in on this.
There are parts of it that are far-fetched from defense's for defense's position, no question about that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen cases that there have been some misconduct that law enforcement tried to cover up. Nothing on this scale before.
Yeah.
But I've actually been a part of cases where I believe law enforcement kind of tailored their testimony and had selective memory about things. And so to suggest, you know, not that you're suggesting this, but for folks who think that it never happens, that's not accurate either.
Sure. And I don't say that it never happens.
No.
What I do wonder about in this case of, you know, is there some selective memory going on here? Is there some just like little thing? I mean, not that it's right, but are there some things that are nuggets of mistruth or nuggets of either they don't remember or they're going to say something, you know, because they want to lie, but it's not about the death of John O'Keefe, like more so the relationship and that sort of things that we saw there. But when you have one little inkling of that on a case that people already think there's a conspiracy on, then it just seems to snowball and turn everything into a conspiracy.
Right. And that road is kind of a treacherous path for a defense to go down, because the jury can begin to lose, you know, credibility in how they're viewing the defense's argument. And if, you know, with every piece of significant evidence, the defense just says, oh, that's planted, it's a conspiracy. That can go in one ear and throughout the other, especially as the trial goes on, as the prosecution continues to build their case.
It's a little too convenient to be able to just say that over and over and over. But the thing is, people eat it up. If they already have their mind dug in, somebody says this is fake, oh, it must be true. Let's take a look at some testimony about some of that evidence. This is testimony, Maureen Harnett on the stand talking about hair that was found on the bumper of Karen Reed's SUV.
And ultimately, either driven back or towed back, some way it ended up back in Canton, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if Dighton is, how far would you say Dighton is from Canton?
Again, I'm really guessing. I would say maybe a half an hour.
30 miles?
Potentially. I don't know exactly. I was never in Dighton.
Okay. So, according to your notes, the glass pieces that we're looking at on the back of this bumper would have traveled, let's call it for round figures, about 60 miles in a blizzard before you saw it.
I don't know when the glass pieces were ended up on the bumper, so I couldn't say.
And of course, you knew that on February 1st, you knew a few days earlier, on the 29th, there had been a pretty significant snowstorm here in Massachusetts, correct?
Yes, I did have that information.
And that blizzard included high winds, freezing rain, snow, all the good stuff with a blizzard, correct?
I don't recall the exact weather conditions of the blizzard.
But irrespective, after all of that, whatever that was, you saw these five pieces just sitting perched on the top of the bumper, not embedded in any way, correct?
That's correct.
And you recovered those with little bitty tweezers, correct?
Yes.
We can take this down with the court's permission. You testified on direct examination that you also found a hair on that rear panel, the quarter panel of the car, correct?
Yes, at the time of the scene, I noted it was an apparent hair, correct.
And the apparent hair, and I'll try to use that same word, I keep forgetting, you'll correct me, that apparent hair was not sitting on the horizontal bumper, but on a vertical portion of the quarter panel, correct?
That's correct.
Did you find the hair, or was that hair pointed out to you by somebody else?
I believe I located the hair.
How exactly was that hair secured to that vertical panel, if you can explain that?
It didn't appear to be secured in any way. It was just on that quarter panel.
Okay, so it wasn't taped?
No.
It wasn't glued?
No.
It wasn't stapled?
No.
It was not affixed in any way whatsoever. It was just perched on that vertical panel of the SUV, correct?
That's correct.
And for you to remove it, and by the way, this is, you found this at the same time that you found the general time, that you found the glass pieces as well.
That's correct.
So that hair potentially would have had to make that same 60-mile round trip in the same blizzard.
At the time, I don't know when that hair was deposited on the vehicle.
Right.
This is a tough one. I especially, you know, if you think she probably did it, traveling 60 miles with this stuff still on the back of the vehicle, the only thing that can come to my mind is, you know, having grown up in the state of Wisconsin, where it's very snowy, similar to where they are in Massachusetts, when rain and snow get compacted on the back of a vehicle, whatever is there also gets compacted on the back of the vehicle. So if you got hit something or somebody, I could see that, you know, being iced on there. And then once it gets to a secure garage location, which they eventually took the vehicle to, things melt and things are more revealed. That's the only explanation I can come up with. But what's your thoughts on all?
You know, as soon as I conclude that, hey, there's no conspiracy here, this is a straightforward case, whatever, I hear testimony like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a sec. Because, to me, it just seems implausible. I understand that potential explanation, but it seems implausible that a piece of hair would stay on the vehicle, and as would the glass shards, for that length of time in a blizzard. It just raises some eyebrows, and defense has done a good job raising some eyebrows.
No, it certainly does. I mean, they don't have to prove that someone else did this. They just need to make their point that there is, reasonable doubt here on it, and they're doing their job. We haven't even let them have their turn yet, but they're certainly arguing it. That's why this case is as confusing as it is, I think, because there's so many little pieces here. This is why it's not just the hit and run that so many people, you know, wonder why it's not just marked as that.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.